This morning, God's Word comes to us from Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 12 and then read through the end of this chapter. Romans 5, beginning at verse 12, what we hear now is God's Word. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, how much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For judgment followed one trespass, following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 10 in the back section. Page 10, this is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 3. And I will read the questions. You may respond with the answers from page 10 in the back of the Psalter. Question 6. Did God create man so wicked and perverse?
No. God created man good and
noble. Then where does man's corrupt nature come from? But are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil?
Yes. Unless we are born again by the Spirit of God.
Well, we have been talking about the blessing of belonging to God. The fact that we belong to God, body and soul, in life and in death. And we have talked about what it is we must know to enjoy the comfort of that blessing. We saw that our knowledge of our comfort comes first of all with the knowledge of our sin and misery. And we talked about last time where that knowledge comes from. It comes through the law. The law teaches us what God requires, and that law then shows us where we fall short of God's righteous requirements. Continuing to talk about the knowledge of our sin and misery, we ask, where did this condition begin? Because if we can find where the problem started, maybe we can just go back and fix it. Kids, maybe for Christmas, you got a toy or something that required some assembly, had to be put together. And even as you're ripping open that box, Dad is right there to help you. He's going to help you assemble this toy. And you maybe say, Dad, here's the directions. Oh, I'm not going to bother with those. And Dad starts putting the toy together. And he works a while and he works a while, and eventually he realizes he's got too many extra pieces and things are not fitting, and maybe he does have to look at the directions. He goes back and he tries to find out where the problem first started, goes back to that point, and then fixes it from there on. He started out really, really well, but then got off track somehow because he wasn't following the directions. So if he just goes back to the starting point where the first problem came, he can fix it and go right from then on. Maybe that's the way it is with our sin. If we can just go back to the origin of our sin and misery, to where we first went wrong, and then change that and fix it from there, everything will be fine. Where is the origin of our sin and our misery? Where is that starting point we have to go back to? That's what Paul addresses in Romans chapter 5. As he talks about sin entering the world, where did that first entrance of sin come from? And I think perhaps those of us who maybe grown up in the church know that our original problem of sin was all the way back in the Garden of Eden, all the way back with Adam and Eve. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we shouldn't be too quick to say our sin began with Adam and Eve. Because that forgets that man was created perfect. Man did not begin as a sinner. Man did not begin as fallen. That wasn't the origin, not in creation. Because you see, if man was created fallen, if he was created sinful, then ultimately, it's the fault of God that we have this fallen, sinful condition. But man wasn't created that way. Adam and Eve were created perfect in paradise. We cannot too quickly say our sinful condition comes from Adam because he was created perfect and without sin. Created good. Not hindered by the restraints of sin. Not created sinful and fallen and imperfect. But he was a perfect man, given a perfect wife, in a perfect place. No, the origin of our sin doesn't go back past Adam and Eve to creation. Our confession says, God created man good and in his own image. That is, in true righteousness and holiness. Man was created in the image of God, in true righteousness, in perfect harmony with God, his creator, in perfect harmony with the spouse God gave him. Righteousness. No fault, no darkness, no problems. He was created righteous and holy, not tainted by the stain of sin. The origin doesn't go back to the creation of Adam and Eve. He was created that he might know God, he might love God, he might live with God. Man was created perfect to fellowship with God, to fellowship with creation in perfect righteousness and perfect holiness. Did God create man so wicked and perverse? No, God created man good in his own image. It was not from the creation of Adam and Eve that our fallen, sinful nature came. No, Paul points out to us, it was not from his creation, but it was from his fall. And our confession echoes that truth. If man was created good and perfect in righteousness and holiness, then where does man's corrupt nature come from? From the fall and disobedience of our first parents. From the fall and disobedience. Paul says, verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Adam, through a deliberate act, chose not to do what God required, not to do what God asked, chose to go against the law of God. And that sin, the fall and disobedience of our first parents, plunged all mankind into a fallen, sinful condition. Adam was acting as the head of all humanity. Adam, that perfect man with the perfect wife in the perfect location, was given the law of God. You shall do this, you shall not do this. And the perfect man chose to disobey. How it is possible for a perfect man to make that choice is beyond the scope of our discussion this morning and something we probably will never understand. But we know he made that choice. Man fell into sin, and sin came into the world through the fall and disobedience of that one man. That's where our fallenness comes from. Back from Adam's disobedience, back from Adam's sin. And that sin then spread to all mankind. Adam had children in his own likeness. Adam had children with that same fallen, sinful condition. They looked like their father. Whenever a baby is born, a baby is born in the family, and one of the first questions we ask is, who does she look like? What side of the family do they resemble? What's the family likeness that we see? We all bear the likeness of our first father. We all bear a striking resemblance to our first father Adam, in that his sin is passed along to us. It is like an inherited condition passed from father to son, from father to daughter, for generation after generation after generation. From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we are born sinners, corrupt from conception on. We're born that way. We didn't have to do anything to inherit that fallen, sinful nature. Just like a child doesn't do anything to look like mom or to look like dad, it is the fact that they are born that makes them look like their parents. So too with our first father, Adam. We are born like him and we look like him. A fallen, sinful condition. Even in children. Sometimes hear people talk about innocent babies. And we know that they look innocent. But even in their infancy, they inherited that fallen, sinful condition from our first father, Adam. All of us tainted with that stain. All of us. That's the completion. That's the fullness of the fall. It affected not only Adam and Eve, and not only the next generation, but continued down through the years and down to us today. We call that sinful nature total depravity. It affects everything that we do. We sin. We sin because we are sinners. Have you ever thought about that? Do we call ourselves sinners because we sin on occasion? Or do we sin because we are sinners? It is not the case that we call ourselves sinners because at one time or another we commit sins. The truth is, we commit sins at one time or another because we are born sinners. Born totally depraved. Born hating God and hating our neighbor. That's the extent of the fall. This sin is a death sentence for us. Verse 14, death reigned from the time of Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Verse 12 again, therefore just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Our total depravity is a death sentence for us. Adam was told, in the day you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will surely die. And that's what happened. A spiritual death. A breaking of the fellowship between God and man. That intimate relationship broken. The effect of the fall on Adam and on us is a death sentence. That's the way sin has poisoned our nature. So where do we go back to? How do we get back to that first place where things started to go wrong? We can't go back to the first Adam. We can't go back to that initial choice that he made to disobey God. Is it hopeless then? That we can't go back and find out where the problem started and correct it and go on again. What we are unable to do, go back to that first Adam. God effectively did. Not in taking mankind back to the first Adam, but in sending a second Adam. One who would come and just like that first Adam, act as a representative of God's people. That's what verse 14 means at the end there. It talks about Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Adam was the one who was the head of mankind, making the choice for all mankind. God would send a second Adam, Jesus Christ. One who would come and be faced with the choice of obedience or disobedience once again. But unlike the first Adam, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, perfectly obeyed the law and will of God. Unlike the first Adam who fell himself and caused all humanity to fall, Jesus Christ comes to redeem that fallen humanity. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, that's Adam, how much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many? Adam came, and because of his one choice, all humanity fallen in sin. Christ comes and now redeems many with his abundant grace. Verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin, for the judgment followed one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. The power of God's grace is greater than the power of sin. Adam committed one sin and all humanity fell. Christ comes, and out of that fallen mass of humanity, one act of righteousness can redeem each and every one of God's people. The power of God and the gift of His grace is more powerful than the fall into sin. Verse 17, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. The power of God, the gift of His grace. Grace, we say, that is greater than all of my sin. Jesus Christ came, the second Adam. He does what we could not do. Goes, in essence, back to the beginning, faced with the choice of obedience and disobedience, and He perfectly obeys God. And that obedience overflows to the many. That obedience overflows to each and every one of God's people. That obedience we celebrate today. That we have Jesus Christ, who has raised us from the dead, brought us back to righteousness and to life. Sin was a death sentence. But Christ leads us to life. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ brings life. Christ brings righteousness. Christ brings hope and peace and reconciliation with God as the Spirit of God works in our hearts, applying the work of Jesus Christ. The final question in Lord's Day 3, but are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? The answer is yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. And then that Spirit works in us to give us righteousness and to give us life. And this morning, we celebrate that life as we come to the table of the Lord. We take and eat that we might be strengthened in our living. Christ, by His act of righteousness, has secured life for us. And He continues to strengthen us in that life. Strengthen us in the path of righteousness. We come and we take and eat and we are taking in the blessings of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Strengthening our life. Not taking us off to death. Strengthening our life that we might pursue the ways of righteousness. We might pursue the ways of peace. We might pursue the ways of God. We come this morning to celebrate life. We celebrate the life given to us by God through the Spirit because of the work of Jesus Christ. Oh, we certainly commemorate. It was His death that accomplished this for us. But that death was given that we might live, that we might be strengthened, that we might be prepared for further service for Him in the week to come. God did what we were unable to do. We couldn't go back to the beginning. We couldn't go back to the origin of the problem and fix it and make it right. So God sent a second Adam. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and face the challenge of obedience and disobedience. And as Christ was obedient, that overflows to us. And He gave up His life to ensure that we would be justified and be able to walk in the ways of righteousness. And this morning, as you take, as you eat, and as you drink, know that God Himself is strengthening you by the power of His Holy Spirit to continue to walk in the ways of that holy life. How we thank God that we were not left simply fallen in Adam, but He gave us life in the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how good You are to us. We know that You're a just God. We know You're a righteous God. And we know that after having examined our lives this past week, we are neither just nor righteous. We are fallen. And yet we, as we talked about last week, look past that sin and look to Jesus Christ, to what He has done for us, to the fact that He brought us life and life abundantly. Lord God, may that be our joy as we hear the words of life once again this morning. And as we take and eat, that we might be strengthened unto eternal life and prepared for this life as well. Hear our prayer, O God, for we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen.